Szóval today I thought we'll have a talk based on the Bhagavad Gita. It will be kind of a discussion. I would appreciate your active participation. So that's why we are using that whiteboard. Probably to write a few points. So I'm going to be discussing a few important points. Just like, how many students here? I'm also a student. There are a few students. How many were students before? What? You were not a student?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were also a student.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, most of us are students or we were students. So, like that, you know, and how many people were, you know, brought up in Australia? Okay. Few. So many migrated, huh? Over the years. I migrated. So many people migrate. So you see, to migrate, you know, a person needs a visa. So, you know, Australian, like, visa rules are very strict. So I'll ask you a question. How many categories of visas are there? If somebody wants to migrate?
Three categories.
Which one?
Three or four.
Like?
Four.
Like, can you tell?
Skill designated visa.
Skill, okay. Can you write? I don't know. Just write visa. So we got skill, yes?
Tourist visa,
okay, very nice.
Business visa.
Humanitarian. Okay. Business. Who said business?
Business.
Okay. Are you a businessman?
No.
Okay. So you're a student, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Business, student, humanitarian. Any?
General migration.
General migration.
Yeah.
Okay. Or a medical treatment visa? You know, somebody wants to come. What else?
Spouse.
Spouse visa. Yes, you can accompany your spouse. What else?
Parent visa.
Parent visa. I thought you said parent visa. That's a new category. Yeah. Parent visa. Yeah, parent want to come with you. You know. Yeah. I checked up the DMIA website. It said like to live with family. You know, that kind of visa. So parents visa. So yeah, these are very nice. We got a few types of visas. So these are different categories. You know.
Sorry, post.
Okay, thank you. You got a few scholars. He doesn't have a spouse, that's why. But when he gets a spouse, he knows the spelling. So, you know, it's not his fault. Okay, so training visa, there was one category. So how many categories of income groups are there? Can you write income groups over there? Can anyone mention?
What do you mean?
Income groups, like according to what type of income you have?
High.
This is the high class, upper class. This is the lower class, or how do you say?
Middle class,
upper middle class. Especially in India, you know, all these distinctions are there. This is the lower class, middle class, upper middle class.
HID, MID,
all that. You know, upper class, super upper class. So if you go to Toorak, you know, very upper class people, very polished. So, you know, the above examples, these two examples, they show something. It indicates that when there is more than one category, what does that indicate if there is more than one category? Can anyone tell? See, in the visa, we have, there's more than one category of visa, right?
All the above.
Qualification.
You need qualification to fit into
each category.
You need qualification, yes, very nice. Anything else?
You have lots of bucks.
So you need a lot of bucks to enter Australia, is that what you're saying? Okay, yes, very nice. What else? There's so many categories here, what? It indicates two things. Can anyone think about it? Huh? Variety. Yeah, very nice. Variety.
I might indicate your station in life.
Yes, very nice. But anyway, like, if you look at the income groups, what does that indicate? Different categories. There's a difference, right? So category, if there's more than one category, it indicates two things. That there's something in common, and there's something in different. So here you see, like with the visa, can anyone guess what is the common theme behind it? What is the common thing in all the visas, different visas? Everyone wants to come to Australia, wants to live here. So with the income group, everybody is earning money or earning a wage. So what is the difference there in the income group?
Capacity?
Yeah.
Knowledge?
Well, one might have a lot of knowledge but he'll be earning less money. The difference is different levels of income, you know. So one is lower, middle, like that. So in visa, what's the difference?
Different requirements.
Yes, different requirements. So that's the difference. The common thing is they all want to come to Australia, but for different purposes. So they're for different purposes, they're different requirements. So this point is clear to everyone? So if there's more than one category, it indicates two things. There'll be something in common and there'll be something different. So similarly, let me ask you another question. How many categories of living entities are there? Or what categories of living entities are there? So maybe on the right, living entities somewhere?
Anyone want to have a guess?
Like, what kind of living entities can we see here?
Human beings.
Human beings, okay, right, humans. Anything else? I'm sorry?
Aquatic.
Aquatic, okay. Fish, you know, shark, whales.
Moving or non-moving entities, like plants?
Living entity.
Animals.
Animals like dog, cat.
Yes.
Okay, right. Animals. What is?
Plants, trees.
Plants. Okay, right. Plants. What is? Insects. You see insects. Okay.
Birds.
So you know, basically this covers the whole range of living beings, which are two: moving and non-moving. Yeah, moving, non-moving. So a bird is moving because it's flying. So we have these different categories, right, isn't it? But we can broadly classify them in two categories. You can write, one is humans and one is non-humans, or you can broadly say animals. So just write again two categories. You can write again. So just write humans and non-humans. So what did we discuss? When there are categories, there's something in common and something
different.
Okay, so we have two categories, human and non-human. So who can tell me, so for example, you can take a human being, maybe a stupid human being like me, and you can take a dog, you know, a German Shepherd. Now can anyone tell me what is in common with a four-legged dog and with me, with the two-legged human being?
Eating.
Right? Okay. Can you write eating? You'll have to stand up on the room. Yeah. Okay. So human, you said animal gets, dog gets hungry, they get hungry. Okay. Right. Try hungry. What is?
Sleep.
Okay. What else? What? Anything in common we have?
Relationships.
Okay, right. Relationships. So dog has relationships with its friends, you know. It has its circle of friends, has its partners, like that. Okay. Very nice. Anything else? What does the dog have in common with the human being?
Behavior.
What? That's okay. What?
Dog behavior.
Yeah, dog behaves in a certain way, you know. You know, if you you know, it will only bark. It can't speak Sanskrit, so it will behave in a certain way, the dog. So we'll behave in a certain way. Okay, dogs behave. Dogs bark like that. Okay. So somebody said sleeping. You know, dog sleeps, he sleeps. Okay. What is in common you can find?
Survival instinct.
Survival instinct. Yes, very nice. Thank you very much. Very good. Anything else?
Flesh and bone and body.
Flesh and bone and body. Yeah, okay. It's got bones, it's eyes, and it's got flesh. If you punch it, you know, it might bleed or. Okay, it's nice. Huh? Body, yeah, you can write it. It's got a body, common. Like flesh and bone. Anything else? You said mating. Okay, thank you. What is it?
Breathing.
That can come under mating. Okay. What else?
Fighting.
Oh. Do you fight a lot, Madhuri? Okay, right, fighting. So, dogs fight a lot. You know, actually they said cats and dogs. Cats and dogs, you know, Prabhupada would say in the book. Like, men are fighting like cats and dogs. So, you know, dogs are always fighting over territory like that. So we also fight, you know, to defend our property, nation, body, whatever. So we also fight. Okay. Or you can say fighting or defending. Same thing. What is it?
Both breathe to live.
Breathe to live. Okay. Very nice. Breathing.
Full and temporary body.
Oh, that's very deep. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for these nice suggestions. So in the Hita Pradesh, you know, there's this verse. Which will broadly classify what are the common activities. You know, the verse goes like this: Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunam Cha Samanyam Etat Pashuve Naranam Dharmoni Desham Adhiko Vishesho Dharmena Nina Pashuve Samanaha. It says that men and animals, they have four things in common, and there's one thing which is different. So the four things in common, it says ahara. Ahara means eating. So we see, you know, even animals are eating. You know, we are eating. And you can see animals, they can eat anywhere. You know, they don't need a very nice arrangement to eat. Just like you can see a dog. We took the example of a dog. A dog can eat on the street. You know, you can give it some food. It will just eat there. You know, it doesn't have to sit on a table. And doesn't need a fork and a spoon or a knife to cut it. So dogs eat. Whereas you see human beings, you know, for us to eat, first we have to go to school till the age 12. Then we have to go to uni, 4 years. Then we have to work so hard. And after that, you know, then we are out eating. We work so hard to eat. So, you know, after all this effort, you know, we get something to eat. Maybe four chapatis. And the dog can do that very easily. So then, ahara, nidra, the verse goes. Nidra means sleeping. So sleeping is common, somebody, Mataji mentioned, sleeping is common between animals and human beings. So, you know, these days people have to take sleeping pills to sleep. You know, so much stress and anxiety, depression, you know, work pressure, you can't go to bed, you're working whole night, and then you can't go to sleep in the morning. So, you know, sometimes people have to take sleeping pills and all that. But for animals, you know, a horse can sleep while standing. You know, if you go to a stable, you'll see horses are standing and sleeping. Or a dog can sleep on the road, a cat can sleep anywhere, you know. But for us, we need a nice arrangement. So that's one thing in common. Then bhaya. Bhaya means fearing. Fearing or defending. Defending arises because of fear. So there is this thing which is common between the animals and us, which is fear. So, you know, if you want to see how a dog defends, maybe you just step on its tail or pull its tail. You'll see how the dog defends. You'll see its defense mechanism go into action. So, at the Melbourne show, they were showing this snake show. I went and had a look and they were showing how the snake attacks. So, you know, when somebody comes here, it will come like this, and it's basically telling you to go away, otherwise it'll bite you. So, a snake will defend by using its fangs. So whereas we defend ourselves by our bank account, credit cards, or weapons, you know, guns, missiles, all these weapons, or society, friendship, we defend ourselves like this. And then there is Mayasamancha, which means mating. So for human beings, we make very elaborate arrangements for mating, whereas animals, they do it in a very gross way. So, you know, this is a common thing. So, you know, in categories, we saw there were two things. One is something in common, and something in
different.
Yes, thank you. That's what we do. Nobody got this point. Okay, so difference. So, can anyone tell me what's the difference now? What's different from us and the animals? What's the different thing?
Thinking.
Sorry?
Thinking.
Okay, maybe erase some of that and write differences. Okay, thinking. But animals also think, you know. Like animals will also think to some extent.
Oh,
okay, thank you. Thinking. What is it?
Reasoning.
Okay. Right, thinking, reasoning. Animals actually also reason. You know, like a cat can also, you know, make a decision or basically think how to execute a certain action. It's based on instinct, but if you are there to hit it, it will reason and it will go away. Okay, what else? And anything, any other difference?
Six senses, they have five senses. Basically.
We have six senses.
Six senses, they have five senses.
Which is the sixth sense?
The way we think and act.
But they also think and act. Feeling? The sense of feeling. We don't have that? Higher sense of feeling. They have or we have?
It's not a matter of feeling. It's a way, it's a matter of thinking. Only humans can, with the sixth sense, it basically differs from the animals. Humans basically differ from animals with the sixth sense.
But what is the sixth sense? Bhagavad Gita says the sixth sense is the mind, but actually the animals also have a mind. Animals also have consciousness, otherwise they won't be alive. Sorry? Awareness. They are also aware of the surrounding.
We can do things which are supposed not to be done. Like, you know,
we can do things which are supposed not to be done.
Things, we can change things, like, you know, someone says you shouldn't do this, but we can do that. But in the case of animals,
you tell the cat not to sleep, no, it still does that.
Yes, I mean, the animals, they not, I mean, they cannot change. They cannot change things. Like, you know, they do it in one way.
Yeah, one way. Okay.
Yeah.
So they are like by the instinct.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Right. They cannot change things. They can discriminate. They can't discriminate. Okay, thank you. Right, they can't discriminate. You had a point?
Humans can pray because if animals can't pray.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Thank you. Animals can't pray. Okay. Right, animals, differences. They can't pray. Okay. Very nice. Anyone else?
We have made society to live.
Sorry?
We have made society to live, but they just live with us, that's all. They don't have a separate society for them to live.
They have a society, but it's not so advanced. It is gross. Like, they have friends and, you know, fellow friends to hang out with, you know. Okay.
Humans can laugh, animals can't laugh.
Animals can't laugh. Are you sure? You know, I've been to so many people taking their dogs for a walk, and they say dogs have a personality, and they actually respond according to how you treat them, and they show love and affection. It's the nature of the soul to love. It's inherent in the soul. Okay. So, anyone else? Last point. Okay. Realization, okay, right, realization. So they don't get realization now. Okay, thank you. So you see, like somebody said, thinking, reasoning, you know, these differences. These things are in us also, but you know, somebody also mentioned higher intelligence. Who mentioned higher intelligence? You mentioned, okay, thank you. So human beings have higher intelligence. As the word is higher intelligence, because animals also have intelligence. But the our power of reasoning and thinking is much higher and more developed than the animals. So, you know, this is the thing which makes us very, very, very different from them. The power of reasoning, you know, that just like, for example, you know, we don't see, have you seen a college of dogs or cats? Or can you see any kangaroo sitting right next to you? So we see, somebody said animals can't make prayers, right? So in other words, animals can't inquire about the goal of life. You know, animals don't have this intelligence, how to inquire more. So, you know, that's the difference. And also, like, we have the ability to question. We have the ability to question things, reasoning, higher level of intelligence. And we have dharma, or, you know, human beings can take religion. You had a point, Masati? You raised your hand? No, okay, sorry. So, you know, and actually there's a joke. There was once a farmer, and he had a bull. So he had tied the bull to a pole, and then the bull was tied to a pole by a rope, and the bull was made to rotate like this, 360 degrees. It was going around and it was plowing the fields like this. And the farmer would know that the bull is plowing the field if the bell would be ringing. He had a bell on the neck of the bull. And when the bell would ring, he would know the bull is doing his job. So then once the logician came, he said, how do you know that the bull is plowing the field? You know, it might be shaking its head like this. Tang, 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 the bell is going. And the farmer said, you know, the bull is not a logician like you. so it can't, it won't be able to figure that out. So it will go around like this. So we see, you know, a human being can give so many excuses. If we don't want to go to university, we can give so many excuses. We can go and get a medical certificate made. We say I've got a stomach ache, headache, this ache, that ache. Or we don't want to go to work, we call it sick. Or we come up with so many excuses. You know, but whereas animals can't do like this, you know, human beings can do all of these kind of things. So, you know, these are like a few differences. And also, like, for example, animals, you know, like this time I was in India, so I went with a friend somewhere. So we were in India, like butcher shops are everywhere, you know, very, very, they're like in the market. Just they're not like here, where they're, it's hidden, everything's hidden. So, you know, we were there and I saw a few chickens, you know, hanging out there and eating grain. They were eating grain. And then I heard one chicken getting slaughtered, its head being chopped off. Whereas the other chickens, they were just, you know, happily eating the grains which were fed to them. Now if you were in that position, say for example, you know, if human beings are put in that situation, would you just stay there or would you react? You react because you have this higher sense of reasoning and thinking.
You lost your hunger.
You lose your hunger.
Somebody is killing your fellow being, so
I yeah.
Nobody believes for a day.
Day, yeah.
So, you know, animals keep eating all the time. So that's the first thing you do. You lose your appetite.
Yes, thank you. So what to speak of eating, you just lose appetite.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Afraid.
Afraid. So in other words, you know, if a human being, according to that verse, simply, you know, what is in common? Eating, ahara, nidra, sleeping, defending, bhaya, and maitra, mating. If a human being does these four activities, which an animal is also doing, then isn't a human being a two-legged, polished, well-dressed animal? Isn't it? You know, just like, you know, just because, you know, this is the definition of the Vedas. It describes, you know, it classifies an animal like this. So, you know, somebody might be a two-legged, but might be an animal. Because if one is simply doing eating, sleeping, mating and defending, then if they are in common with these activities are in common with the animalistic propensities, then that's what the Vedas classify as, not me. So, you know, don't get angry at me, anyone. So there was a great thinker. His name was Maxim Gorky, and he said that science has made so much advancement that today men can fly in the air and men can swim in the water. You know, men can go underwater like a fish. But and then a peasant asked him. He said, "When will man behave like a human being?" So basically, what is the difference? Our reasoning and higher intelligence and power of thinking and questioning. These things should be used to inquire about the ultimate goal of life. You know, that's the purpose of the intelligence given. So then, you know, we come to this point that, is anybody here from a Brahmin family? One, two, three, four, five. How many? More? Any more? Six? Seven? Is it? Okay, seven. Okay, very nice. So does anyone know who is a Brahmana? Okay, let's reverse the question. Does anyone know who is a Kripana? What is a Kripana? We'll come back to that. Who is a Kripana? A miser. Can anyone tell who is a miser? Do you have any miser friends?
Nobody wants to hear things to anybody. They're all miser.
So, keep it for you, okay. So, can anyone give the definition of a miser?
Selfishness.
Sorry?
Selfishness.
Selfishness. In other words, somebody who has an asset but doesn't use it, you know, that person can be classified as a miser. Kanjus, Makhjus. They said in Hindi like this. You know, it's in a stingy miser. So, Kanjus, Makhjus. In other words, for example, someone might have a lot of wealth, but if he locks up that wealth in the bank account or in a locker and doesn't use it, he's wearing torn clothes like that. He has an asset, but he's not using it. Then that person is a miser. So, the opposite of a miser is a Brahmana. So, what is a Brahmana? Just reverse the thing.
Brahmana, if you are a real Brahmana, by taking birth in a Brahmana family, you are not a Brahmana. You have taken birth in a Brahmana.
In the broad sense, I'm talking about the broad sense.
Brahmana is to share with everybody.
Share,
whatever
yes.
Whatever he doesn't have, need it. For the day, whatever food he brings to Brahmana.
In the broad sense.
So much. And the rest of the disciples are away.
Yep.
That's
yep.
A Brahmana.
Thank you.
He doesn't keep for lunch, food for dinner.
Okay.
Or if you have two or three, return those three things, you give the old one to somebody else.
Not the new one.
But in my sense, the one. But then again, I have seen the sadhus in India. They have a lot of blanks, and you know, he gives them one blanket, he gives the other one.
Okay.
So he already used that one.
Yeah.
So that one, classified. He doesn't want to keep three.
Okay.
Some person said,
okay.
I need those three.
So that's the Brahmana. Okay, thank you. So Brahmana is one who has something, and he uses it for the right purpose. That's the Brahmana. Someone who has an asset, and he uses it for the right purpose. It's like, for example, you know, my spiritual master often gives this example. Once he was in Delhi and he took an auto rickshaw. And you know, he said, "I want to go to say so and so place." And when they went there, and they had an agreement on the price, say for example 100 rupees. So they went there and auto rickshaw said, "Okay, no, it's 200 rupees." And they said, "No," he said, "No, but we agreed on 100 rupees." And then he took out his Brahman thread and he said, "Look, I'm a Brahmana. Therefore, you should give me what I'm asking for." So a Brahmana is not one by his birth, and simply not about the birth. You know, in the broad sense, a Brahmana is one who has something and is using it for the right purpose. So we all have this gift of highly developed intelligence and consciousness. So if it is used for the right purpose or for the right inquiry, then that person is a Brahmana. So anyone can become a Brahman in that sense. So otherwise one is a miser, a confused monkey poo. So then it brings us to the question, what is the right purpose of our intelligence? You know, so we have agreed we have this intelligence, but what is the right purpose? And what is the subject matter or on which we should apply our intelligence? So should we, so you see like a lot of people applying intelligence on cricket, you know, India versus Australia, like that, or inquiring about the latest score, or we had the footy matches, was it Hong Kong versus Geelong? So, you know, people inquiring, or, you know, we see a lot of people are inquiring into the lives of celebrities, you know, what's the latest scandal going on, or, you know, like there's so many inquiries are there. So I'll ask you another question. So, what are people running today in society after? Money. Okay. Who said money? Okay, money. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else? What are people running after?
Job.
Relationships.
Fame.
Very nice. Thank you. Right. Money. Money. Relationships. Name and fame. Yeah. Very nice. Very interesting.
Lifestyle,
comfortable way of living.
Pushal.
Pushal, yeah. Pushal is like, come back. Okay. Food, you can like food. People are running after food. Money, status, name and fame. What else? Success. Okay. Job, somebody said job also. Right? Job, okay.
Power.
Power, PR, you know. Okay, what else? Deep
wealth.
Beauty, yeah, very good. Beauty.
Happiness.
Oh, that's the underlying theme. Okay. Maybe put happiness in a separate category. What else?
Peace.
Oh, yeah, peace, very nice.
Calm.
Huh?
Car, four-wheel drive, and things like that.
Four-wheel drive, okay. Do you have one?
No.
You want one?
No.
No, okay.
I'm alright with my children.
Okay.
Sorry, no
problem. Okay, very nice. You're a satisfied person. Okay, very nice. Okay, so we got so many things. So we see, like, what is money used for? Let's take the first one.
Acquiring wealth.
So, money you can...
You can buy a house.
Yeah, you can buy a house, a nice car, basically you can have a very comfortable way of living. And
you can get a PR if you give $100,000,
you might get a PR right away. Okay. So in other words, basically it comes down to happiness, isn't it? You know, it goes to happiness. Money is being used for... Money is acquired for happiness. Because money is sweeter than honey. Because honey, you know, with honey you can just taste it and it's so sweet. But with money you can buy so many things. You can buy only 10 jars of honey. So money ultimately leads to happiness. Okay, then relationships. You know, people want to have very nice relationships. You know, very friendly, loving relationships. Again, it comes to happiness. Then we have lifestyle, comfortable lifestyle. You have the latest gadgets, iPhone, iPod, you know, everything. You know, gives happiness to one. You know, one can show off to a friend, you know, I have this latest gadget. Then food, same thing, you know, do people eat stale food? No. Maybe different modes people eat, but generally you see people don't eat stale food. So food gives happiness. Name and fame, you know. You have a big job in the corporate world, so you know, a lot of name and fame. You have a nice car and everybody's looking at you, you know. So people are noticing you, you have very nice clothes. Name and fame, it is supposedly people think, it's thought that it leads to happiness. Okay, so basically all these things, you know, beauty, PR, you know, like many students, they don't have PR, they have so much anxiety, you know, how will I get my PR? So the underlying theme is that Everyone is searching for happiness, and these things are supposed to lead to happiness. So, but then, is everyone happy?
No.
Sometimes. So happiness is relative, you know. It's
temporary.
So we see some people have so much money. You know, the world's richest man, one of the richest men was Bill Gates. So there's so many rich men. And you can even look at statistics, you know, for yourself. That supposedly people think wealth leads to happiness. But, you know, there are so many rich people and they're in so much anxiety and depression. They have to take so much medication also in some cases. So, and relationships we see also keep breaking down. You know, there's divorce, sometimes fight among friends. So sometimes relationships are also temporary. They don't lead to ultimate happiness. They do lead to happiness, but not ultimate. So you can classify like that. Cars, you know, people are changing cars all the time. If they were happy with the same car, they would keep it forever. But you know, cars are being changed all the time.
Yeah,
is permanent. But after that, people, and so many people want to go back to India. You know, so PR also.
Citizenship.
Yeah. Many of my friends have gone back, and some say, you know, I want to go back. So they always alternate here and there.
Well, they are limited numbers. Most of the
citizens stay. So the question comes. So what stops us from being happy? That's the question. Who can mention what stops us from being happy?
Not being satisfied.
Desires.
Okay, very nice. Why desires?
Not being satisfied.
Yeah. Anything else?
Greed.
More.
Yeah. Unlimited desire. Yep. What else? Anyone like to share something? Or not getting the above mentioned things here? You know, you can not getting above mentioned things. Anything else? Anyone like to share? What stops us from being happy?
Anything you get there first, you want more and more.
You
never enough.
Okay, so here's another question. Right. So here's another question. What are people doing in society? It boils down to two things. Can anyone have a guess? One is looking for happiness. Right down. And secondly, people are trying to solve the difficulties, problems, troubles and suffering that arise. So we, you know, before we saw that, you know, people are running after these things, and actually those things lead to happiness. And but what is stopping our happiness? The troubles, sufferings, challenges, anxieties, problems. You know, so just like for example, I'll give you an example. You know, what is some? Would anyone like to share with us your favorite preparation? Mine is gulab jamun. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Don't have any favorite thing.
Jalebi.
Sorry, jalebi. Who said jalebi? Okay, very nice. I like jalebi also. So just imagine, okay, you have a nice hot jalebi, you know, straight from the wok, from the ghee wok. You go to a shop, you buy it, your friends bring it, so you're watching TV, everything is there, watching your favorite movie, and there's this wonderful jalebi which you always like, and so you're eating it, you eat the first one, then you're about to eat the second one, and then your friend just comes and tells you, exam mein char gulli gayi, you know, you have failed in four subjects, your results just came out. Four subjects you have failed, that means $2,000 per subject you have to pay now. $8,000. Will you find that same jalebi very tasty now? The whole taste will go away of that jalebi. Or for example, you know, you might have your fifth nice hot samosa there, you know, with aloo and peas in it. You're about to eat it and somebody comes and says, somebody in your family has passed away. Will the same thing feel very tasty? Will you relish the same thing? No, you'll throw it away. So, sorry?
I'm crying.
And you start crying. So, you know, So basically we are always doing two things. We are looking for happiness, and always in pursuing the happiness there are always problems. Always problems come about. So many different kinds of problems come about. And they always stop our happiness. So you know, one can have family problems like this. For students, you know, they think now I've got a nice job, so they don't have a PR or they don't have a job. They think I'll get a job, I'll be very happy. Or once they get a job, they don't have a PR. Once they get the PR, you know, they don't have a partner. Like this, there's always some kind in material, in this material world, there's always some kind of problem there. So basically, what should our intelligence be used for? You know, our intelligence should be used for to stop the suffering. That's the proper use of the intelligence. So the goal of the human form of life is to use the intelligence to stop the suffering. So basically, with the suffering, the two things again. We don't want the suffering, and the suffering is imposed upon us. These two things are always there. So the living entity doesn't want it, and it is being imposed upon us. So then, you know, so the proper intelligence is used when one asks, who am I? You know, who am I? Indian, Australian, male, female, American, black, white, like this. Who? One should go deeper and ask, who am I? Why? Where have I come from? This is the proper use of intelligence. And where am I heading? You know, after this life, like when I die, where am I heading? This is the proper use of intelligence. And when somebody asks these intelligent questions, then that person is, you can call that person as a Brahmin. But one might say, you know, I'm asking, I go to my college and I ask these questions. You know, I have a problem in this algorithm. And I ask my teacher, how can I fix this algorithm? Or how can, there's a problem in the programming. And I ask my friend, how can I fix it? But these types of questions also again, they lead to search for happiness. Because why are we in college? So that we can get a job to make money to find happiness, like that. But when a person asks these questions, like who am I, why am I here, and where am I heading, then this is the proper use of the intelligence of the human form of life. Otherwise, you know, one becomes a criminal. So then, we'll just quickly end here. So then one will ask, you know, we talked about the problems. What are the problems of life? Can anyone suggest? You know, you just get rid of that. Yes, probably.
Growing old,
okay. Right, aging, problems, aging. Okay, yep, one by one, okay. Okay, aging, very nice, thank you. Anything else? Does anyone feel any problems in life or everything is going okay?
Disease,
okay, right, disease. Anything else, any problems? No problems in the world, there's no problems in the world anywhere?
Death,
okay, very sober question. Okay, answer. Poverty, anyone can say poverty is a problem? Huh? Or it's not a problem? Okay, right, poverty. What somebody wrote, said bad health, what is it?
Hunger.
Okay, hunger, yeah, hunger is a problem. Smoking addiction, is that a problem?
Terrorism.
Oh, very nice. Very nice, thank you. It's a big problem in the world, you know. So many bombs are in India going these days. Okay, right, terrorism, okay. What else? Exploration, yeah, okay, very nice, thank you. Very nice. What else? Any other problems? Have you seen any problems in the world? Corruption. Okay, so much corruption in India. You have to get your license, it's not so easy, you have to bribe at every step, you know, for your passport, okay, very nice. What else? Natural disasters, okay, very nice, thank you. So like tsunamis, earthquakes, you know, we get this all the time. Any other problems?
Loneliness.
Okay, yeah, very nice.
Loneliness.
What else? Violence. Okay. Violence. Does anybody have children here? disobedient children?
No, I don't have.
Oh, you don't have? Okay. Isn't that your son?
Yeah, but he is not disobedient.
Okay, disobedient is that. Okay, very nice. Okay, so like that. And so there's so many problems. You can write disobedient kids. This illiteracy is the problem, right? So basically, problems can be classified in three categories. There's you can write three categories. One is the body and the mind. So the body and the mind, problems caused by the body and the mind, problems caused by others, and problems caused by natural disturbances. So problems can be classified in three categories. So just like we can put aging in the body and mind. We can just simply draw an arrow to aging. Disease again can point to body and mind. Just write the categories first. Body and mind, others and natural disturbances. So is somebody's boss giving you a problem? Everybody's boss is very popular now. So you can say like other living entities, the mosquitoes, you know, mosquitoes might bite us, or you know, we might be walking down the road and a dog comes and bites you. So you can put that problem caused by other living entities. How where will you classify poverty as? Natural disturbances. By others. Poverty is by others. Caused by others. Hunger, body and mind. Terrorism by others. Exploitation by others. In natural disasters, you can put in natural disturbances like volcanoes. Corruption by others. Loneliness, body and mind. You know, like that. So basically problems can be classified in these three categories. But then comes the question, what is the real problem? We saw all these problems. So a real problem is one which is, number one, common to all. It has to be common to everyone. It is not that it is only applicable to human beings and not to animals or plants. A real problem has to be common to all. And for a real problem, nobody wants it. But nobody wants it, the entire creation. And nobody can avoid it. If you keep these three factors in mind, nobody wants it, nobody can avoid it, and it is common to all. So, considering these three factors, can you think of problems? Real problems. Like for example, poverty, it's not really a real problem, because poverty in America, there are people who want to be poor. Just like when Prabhupada was spreading Krishna consciousness movement, they were the hippies, they were coming from wealthy families, but they were living like, you know, beggars. Because they were sick of material life. And terrorism, it's not really a problem everywhere. Exploitation, like that you can see. So what are the four problems which nobody can avoid, nobody wants, in the common world? There are four here. One is death. So death, we see, it is common to all. This is saying, is there any person who is immortal? No. It is common to all. And anybody here who wants it?
No.
Nobody. And you said somebody, sometimes people commit suicide. Why are they committing? Maybe they want it. But actually, because they can't find happiness in this world, so their happiness is in committing suicide. So that's why. No one wants it. And no one can avoid it. Can anybody avoid it? Is there a pill you can take and you can stop it? No. It's not there. So you can take disease. Disease is common to everyone. Anybody here who hasn't been sick so far?
And old age,
yeah. Nobody wants sickness and nobody can avoid it. You know, you can take a pill, but again headache comes, you know, you can't avoid it. So similarly with old age, nobody wants it, nobody can avoid it, it is common to all living, all species on this planet and even throughout the universe. And then there is birth. You'll say, how is birth a problem? You know, when child is born, we say happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. But how is birth a problem? You know, Is there anyone here, you know, who chose a catalog of parents? You know, a catalog was kept before you. Would you like to take birth in such and such family or such and such family? Americans, Australians, Indians, or Africans, or a rich family, poor? No. You know, we were forced to take birth. All living entities take birth. And actually it is described that the process of birth is not a very pleasant one. Because when the child is in the womb, it is packed like a bow, like the shape of a bow. And it is not a very healthy condition to be in. It's not very comfortable, put it that way. And there are so many worms, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes, that there are worms which are, you know, biting the child. There's gastric juices. When the mother walks, it gets jerked. And that's why you see, like, there's the Melbourne show, and I saw signs over there that, you know, pregnant women not to go on many of the rides because, you know, it can cause a miscarriage, like that. So, birth is a problem. Nobody wants it. And we are all forced to take birth. It is common to all, and nobody can avoid it. So, these are the four problems. So, these are the real problems. So, Bhagavad Gita says, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukha Doshanu Darshana. So you see, death, you know, one might say, who can say, is anybody afraid of death here? Yeah? You're afraid. Who is not afraid of death? You're not afraid of death. You're not afraid. Who else is not afraid of death? You're not. If there was an earthquake over here, would you just sit here? Or would you run? You know, we might win the war, but we can't win the battle. You know, we might say we're not afraid, but you know, when there's a natural disaster or there's, you know, somebody fires shots, we'll all run for our life. That is natural. So you know, death can't be like stopped. You know, it is not that, you know, one is very beautiful. You know, one can seduce death, just like a beautiful woman can seduce a man. You know, for some purpose, but beauty can't produce death, or a learned scholar can't debate with death. You know, Yamaraj comes and you have a debate. Okay, you know, but now it doesn't work like that. So it is described that the pain of death, you know, when one dies, the pain is equivalent to 42,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. This is the Padma Purana describes this. This is the experience of death. When a person dies, it is 42,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. Now, if you have been bitten by one scorpion, you would know how painful it is. You know, you'll be screaming. But why is it described as 42,000? It is described as 42,000 because when our attachments are severe, it is a very painful experience. For example, there was once a man, a very miser man, he was very attached to his money. So his $2 fell in the pond. He was fishing. So he jumped in the pond to rescue his $2. But then he ended up drowning. You know, he was drowning and he was crying for help, help, bachao, bachao. Then his friend, he was putting his hand down. He said, take the hand. He said, give me your hand. I'll save you. He said, bachao, bachao, please save me. He said, give me your hand, I'll pull you back. But it didn't work. Then his friend came and told him, actually he's a miser. So if you tell him, because he'll only understand in terms of money. If you're saying give, he won't give. If you say take, then he'll respond. So he said, take my hand. Then he said, okay, take my hand. And then he gave his hand, then he pulled him out. So, you know, attachment is like that. Yeah, we'll finish soon. So when at the time of death, because when one dies, all our money goes away. Just like, for example, I met somebody who was telling me, I lost $1,800. I could have done so many things with it. I could have bought a car or a phone, or I could have given my parents money. So when we lose some big amount of money or small, you know, it hurts. So at the time of death, actually everything goes away. One's beauty, wealth, knowledge, fame, you know, all these things which were mentioned before, they all are taken away. So that pain is equal to 42,000 scorpions fighting together. And then, you know, diseases, we saw diseases, you know, they don't go away. You know, nobody can avoid them. And actually, there's a definition of a doctor. A doctor is one who cures the ill by the pill and kills by the pill. So, and we saw like the miseries caused by the body, you know. If a mosquito bites us, you know, it will cause so much pain, or little bit pain. Or if a scorpion bites, it will cause more pain. If, say, somebody insults you, you know, your mind will be so agitated. So these are miseries caused by the body and the mind. Like that. So we saw that there are actually 7 factors. The 4 factors were birth, death, old age, disease, and the 3 factors were misery caused by the body and mind, other living entities, and natural disturbances. So to end, actually, the human form of life which we get is actually meant to inquire about Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It is meant to inquire about the self. And it is meant to inquire about Krishna. It is meant to inquire why we are here, where we come from, and where are we heading. So when one inquires into these purposes, then one becomes a Brahman. He uses his assets of highly developed intelligence. And one can make a solution to this problem of birth, death, old age, and disease. So this temple basically is meant for this purpose. Srila Prabhupada, he opened 108 temples in 10 years when he was traveling all over the world. So he calls these temples as spiritual hospitals. Just like as we go to a hospital, you know, generally somebody goes to a hospital to, you know, cure one's disease. There's so many hospitals. So our disease is that we're caught up in this cycle of birth and death. And to revive our relationship with Krishna, which we have forgotten at this point of time. So these temples are like hospitals where one can revive one's relationship with Krishna. One can follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And it is very easy. In this age of Kali, it is generally very difficult to make spiritual advancement. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has given this process of Harinam Sankirtan, in which one has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, you know, we'll be chanting Hare Krishna soon, and our crew is very eager to chant Hare Krishna, and they've been trying to tell me to stop. So, you know, and actually we see, you know, to these 7 problems, materially there are no solutions. You know, if we had some more time, we could have discussed that also. That generally people look materially for these solutions. But material solutions are temporary, and it's like putting a bandage on a wound. They don't go to the root of the problem. But whereas the process of Krishna consciousness, it goes to the root of the problem, which is within the heart. So, and by chanting Hare Krishna, and by reading spiritual literature, to engage our intelligence in reading books, like we have, if you go in the temple shop, there's so many books up there. You know, you should maybe get a copy for yourself. Any book you like, a small book, or best is if you get a Bhagavad Gita. Or there's one good book, Science of Self-Realization. And if you read that, we can come out of this disease condition of life and achieve a body in the spiritual world where there is no death, there is no birth, there is no old age, and no disease. In the spiritual world, these 4 things are missing. It is not that one doesn't have a body. One has a body, but it does not die, does not grow old. It always remains very beautiful. You know, nobody wants to grow old. We all die when we are 18, 19 years old, at the prime of our youth, when we have the most intelligence, strength, beauty, you know, all these things. So, in the spiritual world, these things, one doesn't lose these things. And those 3 miseries are not there. You know, one enjoys Krishna. And actually, this is not a belief. You know, one can verify this. You know, one might say, what is the proof? You know, I'm saying all these things. But the proof is when you chant Hare Krishna, you will gradually start to realize Krishna. You will feel His presence everywhere. And then Krishna will give you this realization from within. Krishna says to one who hears and chants about me, you know, to such a devotee, I deliver him very swiftly from the cycle of birth and death. This is Krishna's promise. And one can even really experience it. By chanting Hare Krishna, all your stresses and anxieties will go away. And that's a fact, you can try yourself. So we'll just stop here and just 1 minute, any questions, very quickly, just maybe one or two questions, because we have gone overboard.
Why only Krishna?
Sorry?
Why only Krishna? We can even like use other gods and pray other gods.
Like?
Like Shiva.
Actually, God is one, but he has many names. One of God's names is Krishna. Shiva, Lord Shiva is a different category. He is God but is not God at the same time. He is a living entity and he is a little bit like God. And actually, if you read Bhagavad Gita, I'm not making up these things. You know, if I say something, it doesn't have any value. I can say anything, you can say anything. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, in Srimad Bhagavatam also. And Krishna says, Aham sarvasya bhavavo matta sarva pravartate. Iti matva bhujante maam, buddha bhava samahadam. And Krishna says, from me comes everything. I'm the source of everything. And Krishna says, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna says, I'm the source of all incarnation. So Krishna is like the original candle, and from him, you know, all these other candles come. So Krishna is actually the source of all gods. That is actually, that is a lecture in itself. But briefly, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like in Australia, there's a Prime Minister and there's so many other ministers. And then there's, living entities like you and me. So, but there's one Supreme. It's like that. Yeah, answer your question.
Just to add to that answer, the results given by the demigods or the devas are temporary. They don't give you the ultimate benefit which Krishna gives as a liberation or even associating with Lord are in a loving relationship. That results is never given by any other demigod.
Yeah, that's a whole lecture in itself. That's a whole topic in itself. Any other questions? Okay, no problem. Great, time for prasadam now.
Thank you.